Is good. Amen. Father, we are thankful for you. Lord, you are our helper, our strength. You're the God who directs us and guides us. God who meets our every need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Where would we be without you, Father? Where would we be without you? You're the God who makes sense of our lives. We surrender our lives to you. And we say, Father, keep out of our souls. Have your way in us and with us. Bring to pass your covenant promises in our lives. Fight for us. You said to our Lord Jesus Christ, sit down. I'm going to take on the fight and make every enemy footstool. We say, Lord, do so for us now, like never before. Raise up your church, your people, by your Spirit, and establish us in the righteousness of your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. It's good to see you this wonderful day that the Lord God Almighty has made for us to rejoice and be glad. Well, we're in the book of Proverbs, and we got up to verse 23 last Bible study. But let us stick it up from verse 20, just to recap some things. In Proverbs 6 and 20, the word of God says, my son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. God speaking to us, to the writer, telling us about the importance of the Word of God, the importance of what our parents taught us in righteousness and in truth. And it goes on and says to us that when we do that, when we embrace our father's commandment and do not forsake the law of our mothers, that when we go out, it will lead us. Those words from your father and your mother says, it will lead you. But what is the agenda of the enemy? The agenda of the enemy many times is to cause us not to listen to what our parents said. Father says this, your mother says that. And rather than listen, we want to carve out our own path, especially when we are teenagers. You know, you want to be independent. It's amazing how teenagers want to be independent and they flock together. It's ironic. What you need to be listening to, rather than listening to everybody else, is listen to your father and your mother. They've gone through life. They went through whatever it is that you're going through. I'm not saying that fathers and mothers are always correct. Not if they are not people that are serving God and have a heart towards God. You know, many times there are parents that will introduce their children to diabolical things that will be destructive. When God talks about listening to your father and your mother here, he's talking about men and women that have given their hearts to God. You know they love God. They want what is best. It doesn't necessarily mean that they may be perfect. Sometimes they are talking to you from their imperfection, from their experiences where they failed. You know, I did this and I failed. This thing that I did at such and such a time, it created serious problems for me. When I did not listen, this is a kind of problem. So I don't want you to repeat the same thing. So I'm instructing you. I'm sharing with you. One of the things my children have spoken to me about how I address things was that, and I've done that here in church too, you know, if I messed up, I fess up. You know, this was the point. You know, this is what I did. And it's amazing to me that the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to me many years ago, told me that it isn't everything that he did correctly. I said, well, what are you talking about? He said, some things I did for your benefit, to show you what not to do. I said, I don't get that. He says, you know, for example, in Mark 11, where it says that he approached a fig tree, if he might find anything thereon, I said, that's not correct. I said, what was wrong with that? He said, because I was not specific. It's not just the fault of the fig tree. If I wanted fruit, I shouldn't be going there expecting if I can find anything. He said, I found stuff there. I said, what did you find? He said, it had leaves. I said, okay, that's one. What else? He said to me, he said, remember the guy that had legion? I said, yes. He said, how many spirits were there? I said, legion, it's got to be thousands. He said, no, it wasn't thousands. I said, what? What are you talking about? He said, to me, he said, it was one spirit. I said, one spirit? Not legion. How did it become legion? Is it because I gave it permission to speak? I asked him, what is your name? And then it said, I am legion, for we are many. And the text changes. So I went and I looked. Shoo! That's exactly what happened. He said, I did that to show you what not to do. Don't give the voice, don't give the enemy a voice. So I learned something. And he began to show me different things. Wow. That's incredible. Well, it's not everything that, you know, we say, you know, physician, heal thyself. You know, sometimes if the person who's telling you what not to do might be breaking all the rules. But that does not mean that what they said isn't the truth. They're speaking to you from an experience of what not to do. Learn from that so you don't repeat the same mistakes. That's the main aspect. So when we're listening to fathers, mothers, and it's not necessarily just fathers, you know, natural father or natural mother. It could be a mentor. Listen. What they're telling me right now, is it the truth? Don't just look at, well, if it is the truth, well, how come you're not doing it? It's still the truth. Still the truth. So lock into the truth and stick with it. Because the truth is the truth, is the truth, is the truth. And if you attach yourself to what is true, you will escape a lot of pain, unnecessary pain. He says, those instructions, he says, they will lead you. He says, when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. Now, that makes sense. Remember, we're talking about financial stuff, you know, starting in the early part of chapter 6. Well, there are people, while they are sleeping, that are making lots of money because they learned certain things. They learned how to invest in something, what, you know, they know how to handle their money. If you're not an expert at that, and you don't know much about that, learn. Just learn. It's important. Because money has its own rules. And those that know how to handle it, know the principles that guide it. For example, if you have property and you wanted to will it to your children, if you don't know the laws of capital gain, you can give a property to a child and impoverish that child. Because when that child gets that property, whatever profit from the time you bought that house to when that child sells that house, let's say you bought the house for $200,000 and they sold it at $800,000, now they're going to be taxed for $600,000. They don't have money. Now where are they going to get money to pay the taxes for $600,000? But if you know how money works, then you'll have a living set up where you still transfer it, it's still their money, but the government cannot tax it. because it keeps on producing. They can withdraw money from it, and the government doesn't tax it because the rules of money work in a particular way. But if you don't know, the blessing becomes a curse. So you learn from people who know. Yeah? You just have to learn. And that will keep you. He says, it shall keep thee, and when thou art wicked, it shall talk with thee. Those principles, those laws, it will talk with you. It will say something to you. So there is a place where you will say, you know, for me, if I'm facing a particular situation, I might ask myself, what would Papa do? What would my spiritual father have done about this? What will Jesus do? We used to have, you know, years ago. What will Jesus do? WWJD, right? Well, what will God do? There's a problem here. How will God approach it? Those are part of the lessons. And when you catch yourself doing it the wrong way, you put on the brakes, stop, and reevaluate. Because the commandments, and I use it from the financial aspect, but it's about morality. Morality. We have to, in this day and time, be 2, 3, 4, 5 steps ahead. If I do this, what possible things can happen? And if those things happen, what can I do to mitigate against loss? You have to think ahead. Too many people just react. Just react. And in their reaction, they speak death into their own lives, speak death into their relationships, speak death over so many areas. I was faced with such a situation today. Somebody presented some stuff to me and it didn't look right. I could have had a heart attack, if you might say, from what they showed to me. I said, what on earth? What is going on here? I had to stop. I stopped and I said to myself, God did not tell me this. He didn't tell me this was coming. So this is not true. What I'm being shown right now is not the truth. And I reflected back and I said, yeah, the Lord told me something the other day. Is it related to this? That thing he showed to me was false. So I step aside. I said, Lord, what is it? And he showed me what it was, where the problem was. But I could have spoken death all over, become suspicious of people, because this was like, what on earth? And as the Lord showed me what was, I went, looked, and sure it was. So I called this person. I said, your numbers are totally wrong. You have computer problem, I said. Because everything that I'm seeing here is doubled. They won't have seen it. They are supposedly the experts. But God's Holy Spirit showed me what the problem was. So they checked and cross-checked and said, "You're right. You are right." And they cross-checked everything and everything balanced out properly. I said, "Praise the Lord. Thank God." Well, that happens in life. And we've got to watch carefully what we say. Something's happening. I'm depressed. I am broke. I am sick. But that word, "I am," means that if you were not that, you would become that. In the Hebrew, it's like when you say, "I am sick," you are saying, "Amen." So I need to learn to evaluate, because I don't want to take ownership to what is wrong. Now, if I find myself having done that, then the position is repentance. Repent. It's a good word. Because repent, you know what a penthouse is, right? Penthouse is the top of the structure. So when you repent, you put yourself back at the top. Amen? So it's a good thing. You mess up, repent. Go back to the top. God wants you to be head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Now, this work of the Lord, wow, I'm still in the, I've not gotten into the main thrust of the new part. But we said last week, it says, "For the commandment is a lamp." It is a lamp. A lamp is a structure. It is not the light. That means when you have the commandment of God, you have the authority to embrace whatever it is that you need to embrace, so that when the law is released, the word is released, it becomes a light that makes you see what's ahead of you. The light. It says, "And reproofs of instruction are the way of life." And basically what the word of God is saying is, listen, you're going to be reproved. It's the way of life. You never really there, "I've arrived." No, you've arrived in this room, but for you to go to the next room, there are certain things that may need to change. A particular kind of thinking that has to change. There are some things that are consistent and constant in your life. It's a common thread, but there are certain things that change. 2 plus 2 is always going to be 4. But when you start going into algebra, you start coming up with all kinds of theorems. You start having quadratic equations, and then you go to calculus, and it's no longer 2 plus 2. But the principle is still there, it's still there. And you have to graduate to new ways of thinking, to understanding principles. There are certain things that work to a particular level, and it stops there. And then you go to another level. And then you go to another level. Step number one is not the same as step number 10. But the same principle applies. Go one to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. And you have to embrace that. What you used to do as a baby, you may continue to do, but you may not do it the same way you did it when you were a baby. When you were a baby, you ate. When you were a baby, you pooped your pants. That didn't change later, but you stopped pooping your pants. You're no longer wearing the diaper. But the consistency of excretion continues. Yes? Okay. So, in life, you're going to have levels of instruction, expectations. I don't expect my little granddaughter to drive. Not right now. But she's going to come to a point where she's going to drive. It is the law of movement. And that law of movement at one time said, crawl. And then you graduate to walking and running. The law is a law of movement. But the movement changed. At 2 years, I can accept crawling. At 8 years, No. You can't be crawling. But it was okay before. Yes, it was okay before, but not now. And we've got to apply the same principles to our lives as a church. There's certain things that it's okay for us to do now. But at 10,000 people, you can't do that anymore. It's not sustainable. You've got to change. So instruction, reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Know it. There are going to be changes. You're going to be rebuked, reproofed as you're going in life. That makes sense? Praise the Lord. Now, it's strange because the word of God goes on and to say, it is all of this that I've just told you now is to keep thee from the evil woman. Huh? From the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Why is that? Because everything that we've been talking about has been lined up to one particular principle. The principle of finding yourself and knowing yourself. Having focus, being principled, disciplined. Because if you're not disciplined in your work life, you're not disciplined in your money life, you're not disciplined with the issues of life, then some evil woman is going to flatter you because you're not securing yourself, and they're going to tell you sweet lies, and you're going to keel over because you don't know you. You don't know who you are as an individual, as a person. You're not secure in yourself. That's why the Word of God says that the enemy came to the seeds that fell on the ground, on the hard ground, grabbed those. And then those that fell amongst the rocks, it says, they received the word with gladness, but they had no root in themselves. The word of God that we receive has to help us take root, be stable. And when you are stable, you're not tossed to and fro. You're not an easy target. You bounce back. You are resilient. Nobody can talk you out of your sense of purpose because you know what you're supposed to do. It goes on and says, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. You know, she's can't do it. And you are mesmerized by that, and now you are falling all over yourself. And the reality of life is if you get to the top of the hill and the ball starts rolling on the other side, it is hard to stop it from rolling down, 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 down. And you've got to see sin and temptations from that perspective. Don't play Russian roulette with your life. Because you cannot change your mind midstream. So don't go there. I'm going to escape. I'm going to play games with this. Samson tried that trick and lost his eyes. Yeah? It's just the way it is. Don't start something that you cannot finish. It says, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. How true that statement is. Your whole life is reduced. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Watch that statement. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. That's a powerful statement. So if you are a person of honor, a person that is placed in a particular position of authority, you have something about you that is glorifying to God, you watch that. You watch that. Because like it says here, the adulteress will hunt. That means you are targeted. Too many men don't understand that they can be targeted. And so they mess up. It's always been the case. And understanding that is part of your protection. Understanding that is part of your protection. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? How straightforward is that? I went to a restaurant to pick up some food not too long ago. And this young man came to me and said, "Oh, man of God, I've been wanting to meet you." I said, "Really?" But I noticed he was seated with another woman in this restaurant. And he says to me, he says, "You might not know me very much, but I think you might know my wife." I said, "Really? Who is she?" And showed me the picture. I said, "Oh, yeah, I know your wife." And I'm thinking, you're a minister, and you're here with this other woman in a restaurant without your wife. That's not a safe place. Maybe you don't have intention of doing something wrong, but do you know what intention she has? Why are you exposing yourself? So I took note of that. He said he's going to call me, and when he calls me, I'm going to talk to him about, "What do you think you were doing, man? I'm not accusing you of anything, but do you know that you're setting yourself up for disaster? Don't think that you can handle it. I don't care how spiritual you are. You have to watch certain things. Watch. Be careful." Speaking flattery, "Oh, man of God, you so blessed me today. Oh, my God. Oh, that was such a blessing. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah." Walk. Just keep on going. Walk. "Oh, I don't have any intentions of doing anything." Just walk. Go. Because that talk might become another talk. That becomes another talk. That becomes another talk, that becomes another talk, and becomes another talk. And before you know it, all you are thinking about is that person that you've been talking about. And you're thinking about them over and over and over again. And before you know it, your heart has been captured. And now you are on the other side of that hill. You're going down fast. You don't know you are, but you're done, finished. That's what God is talking about. Watch it. Be careful. "Oh, it's not my type." It has nothing to do with my type or not my type. She's not that pretty. It has nothing to do with that. It's not the beginning and end of it. You watch it. And it's not just about men. It's the same thing about women. Vice versa, flip the word. Because it's not just the adulterous woman that's on the hunt. It's the adulterous man that's on the hunt. Yeah? So if you are playing a particular role, especially, oh my Lord, help me, especially if you just got promoted, huh? You just got elevated at work, at church, at whatever. Oh, the enemy has just targeted you because he wants to reduce you to a piece of bread. When that happens, the enemy begins to circle around. And the two things that happen is, one, on one side, there's going to be a lot of crabbiness around you, strife around you. And on the flip side, there's going to be a lot of flattery. So on one side, you have you no good, you nonsense, nobody, you think you are all that. And on this side, oh, you are all that, you're so amazing, you're so wonderful, you're the best. And if you're living your life for flattery, the story's changed. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. The church needs to be very cognizant of these things, because the body of Christ has been infiltrated in so many ways by stuff like this. The lies of the enemy. What happens in Vegas remains in Vegas. Oh, this is our own little secret. Like it is secret to God. The devil's a liar. I've seen too many mighty men of God taken down like that, just taken down. Ministries shattered because of this. It's unimaginable that we'll have discourses like this in the Word of God if it were not the reality. God wasn't just sitting down in heaven one day and says, you know, what should I just throw in the, you know, that it's not going to happen, but let's just talk about it. No. It is there because it happens. And you cannot point your fingers at people and say, this. Watch yourself. You watch yourself. And make sure that you don't set yourself up or allow somebody to set you up. Do we get it? We do understand. So if in chapter 5, God talks about this, and we come to chapter 6 when the subject should change, and he comes back to it. Ah. It's like the issue of forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer. Talked about forgiveness, and at the end, he goes back to forgiveness. He talks in Mark 11 about faith, and then he goes back to forgiveness. Because forgiveness, the issue of forgiveness, is of utmost importance. So when God comes back to the subject, he's saying this is a very important subject. Might feel uncomfortable, but this is a very important subject. So, deal with it. Now, it seems like there is a switch in the next verse. And in this verse, it talks about stealing. It says, men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. So, you know, hungry, you grab something and you steal it. It says, men don't generally will let it be, you know, somebody stole something. But if he be found that he stole, he shall restore sevenfold. That's 700%. He shall give all the substance of his house. If he has to sell everything, then he's going to have to sell everything. You're going to pay back whatever it is that you stole. Remember, maybe about a week or two ago, I was sharing about that I'd gone to a store and I bought a herb called cardamom from this store. And I sensed that something was wrong with the figures. I was paying way less than I should pay. So I challenged and I was fighting with the people that were selling me this stuff. I think you got your figures wrong. They said, no, that's what our computer says, blah, 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 blah. Cross-check with somebody else, blah, 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 same thing. I got home a few days ago, and I was looking at the package that I paid, the container I paid for about $90, so a small container like that. I looked at the package that I got from this store. I filled an empty container, and I had something left. And I calculated the amount of stuff that I bought should have cost me close to $1,000. I said, this is not right. So I went back to the store. And I said, complaining again, this is like a week and a half later, something like that. I said, I think you guys gave me, I paid like 60 something dollars for something I should, you know, in reality should be about $1,000. I said, what do you guys want me to do? They said, you have the items? I said, yes. Okay, you can keep it. We're just going to check our records to find out where the mistake is coming from. I said, you mean I shouldn't bring what I have back? No, you don't need to bring it back. Just... I walked out of that place and saying, this is a weird one. You know, it's easy for me to say, praise the Lord, I got blessed. But I don't want this so-called blessing to cost me sevenfold. Because if it doesn't come from there, it's going to come from somewhere else. But this, so I had to deal with it and be clear in my spirit that I wasn't ripping anybody off because I did everything I should do. So that's what it is. That's what it is. But this thing is not going to cost me. Because I can understand that kind of a sale. What kind of a sale is that? That's like, what? And the point, saints, is this. Watch everything. Because this same law is an authorization for you and I to place a suit on the enemy in the courts of heaven. When the enemy steals something from you and you identify, devil, you did this. I identify you as the thief. And you have to pay back sevenfold. I'm placing a suit on you. Pay up. And if you don't have enough to pay up what you owe me, you got to let go of even people that are lawful captives, that you have a right to put in bondage. You're going to free them. Because I'm placing a suit on you to pay me back what you owe me, and pay me back by releasing people that you have held in bondage until you pay. Because it says, he shall give all the substance of his house. Pay back. Pay me. You stole my finances. You stole my health. You stole my children. You stole what? I identify you're the one who's causing a problem. Pay back. There's got to be a payback. Strangely enough, he comes back. But whoso committed adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. Are we back here? He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. You mean it was not just sleeping together? No, it says, you destroy your soul. Oh, I have needs. Okay. We are consenting adults. Okay. Pastor, it was just sex. It was nothing. We were just fooling around. Consenting adults. And God says, nope. You are wounding your own soul. You're destroying your soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get. What? Is that serious? And his reproach shall not be wiped away. You mean there's no recompense? No, God said, there's no going back on this. The consequences are real. Drink from your own cistern. Rather than burn, get married. Is that what the Word of God says? Okay. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. In essence, you caught in the act of adultery, get ready to die. That man is going to come after you. He's going to lose his head because you came to his garden. So don't get started. Your life's at stake. He will not regard any ransom. Neither will he rest content though thou givest many gifts. He says, you keep on giving gifts, it's not finished. It is not finished. Now, unfortunately, many people don't give heed to the word of God. They just think, it's nothing. As far as God is concerned, it's everything. In fact, the sin of fornication and adultery, if you were to rank sins, it would be right at the top. Because the word of God says, every other sin is outside of the body, but the sin of porneia, of fornication, of adultery, is within. Anything that will cause you as a believer to embrace that, no matter what the reasoning is, remember, a thief, when he's not caught, people say it's okay. But if he's caught, he has to pay. Yeah? So, even though it seems like he stepped out of that issue, he's basically saying the thief is the adulterer. Now, let me help us here. You say, well, he was not married. I was not married. So, therefore, it's not as serious. Come back. Because that woman or that man is meant to be married to somebody else. And by you intruding into that relationship, even though they may not have even met each other, this person was meant for that person. And now you step in there and deflower that person. Now, you've just committed adultery. It is future, but it's happened. That makes sense? Because that woman belongs to that man. And that man belongs to that woman. You're not part of the equation here. You went into that which belonged to somebody else. So what does that mean? Keep yourself chaste. And talk to God and say, God, who is it that you have assigned to be my husband? Assigned to be my wife. Bring that person to me, or bring me to that person. Seems very strict, but I'd rather have that than have disaster. You want to be married, and when you're married, know for a fact, this is the one God gave to me. This is my husband. This is my wife. And leave it at that. And the only time that you can marry again is if one of the partners is dead. Well, that's doesn't sound right in the eyes of natural man. We're not compatible. I'm going to dump him and start a new family over here. And God knows. And God is using my life. And surprise, surprise, one day God is going to say to some people, I don't know you. But I did this in your name and I did that in your name. Nope. I don't know you. That's not our portion. Amen? But these things we need to be aware of. See God's perspective. And next time, we'll go on to chapter 7. Father, we are thankful for your word. We want to know you. We want to walk uprightly before you. We want to make the right decisions in every area of our lives, decisions that honor you, that glorify you. We want to walk uprightly before you. Deliver us all from evil. Help us to make the right decisions concerning life. I pray for healing of your church, of your people. Deliver your church, your people, from pornography. Deliver your people from adulterous living. Deliver your people from the lifestyle of immorality, that they may not be destroyed with the rest of the world. Grant grace, O God, for your sons and your daughters to live uprightly before you. We pray, O God, for those that are not married, that you bring the right people into their lives, that they will have their own families, their own children, have their own relationships. It's born out of the truth of your word. For those, O God, that whose hearts have been plagued by mistakes, wrong decisions, wrong connections, Lord God Almighty, we ask, O God, that you will extricate and remove from their hearts that which will hurt them. And that the decisions that each one makes be decisions that honor you and build up your people in righteousness and in truth. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for peace. Thank you for love that is not lost. Thank you, Lord, for the grace to appreciate that which you've given to us. We'll be the best for our spouses and our spouses to us. Now those, O God, that are single, be matched up by the wisdom of your Spirit. Even as you brought Eve to Adam, so bring each one to the other. Be exalted, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, bless you. Thank God for every one of you that are here tonight and for this study. God help us all live uprightly before Him. Amen. Praise God. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. If you've not done so yet, this is the time to do so. And please be reminded that on the 10th, I believe, is it the 10th or the 17th? 10th. On the 10th, we have a luncheon right after the morning service. And there's a sign-up sheet on the back table that you can sign up to let those that are getting things ready for us know that you plan on being an active participant in that luncheon. And on the 17th, we have, which is a Sunday also, we have the concert. The O Come Let Us Adore Him concert, featuring our worship band, our Christian education ministry choir, and Booming Praise. It should be an exciting evening. It will start at 6:30 that particular evening. So do plan on that. Well, Christmas Eve is on Sunday, and we normally have a Christmas Eve service, but that evening there will be no service. So be mindful of that also. Amen? Praise God. And hopefully I shall have word for us in the next, hopefully before the week end, about our Brick Kane contribution to get people out of slavery that are enslaved right now. I'm hoping that we will be able to get at least two families out. And as soon as I get that information on what has happened, I will let you know. And that's it. Next Friday is leadership prayer meeting. It's for the leaders and workers. And then the next Wednesday, right? This Friday. And then the Wednesday is leadership. That's not open to everybody. It's just those that are leaders. So the next two services, Friday evening and Wednesday, that's for leaders. Okay? Sunday, of course, is for everybody. Well, bless you. Enjoy the goodness of God, and may His peace garrison each heart. Let's continue to pray one for the other. And let's believe God for the increase that He's promised. And part of the instruction that was given to us was we should adopt a role. So everybody adopt your role and believe God to have your role filled. And when that is filled, believe God for another role to be filled. Amen? And let's do that, because God has His mind on increase so that we can all fulfill His mandate. God bless you richly. And have a good night.